Hello, Kate Jones here, and this is the Love to Teach podcast. I am a history teacher, a middle leader, author, blogger, and now I am entering into the world of educational podcasts. Hello, Barada, Assalamu Alaikum. It's great to be recording the Love to Teach podcast again because I recorded 8 episodes in 2019 and then I've taken quite a long break. This is the first episode in 2020. I didn't actually think I was going to record the podcast again, but it is back due to popular demand and teachers asking me to relaunch it. So I thought, actually, I will. I do enjoy it. And the theme of the podcast today is basically asking the question, is this a golden age of CPD? And this was inspired by a tweet I read recently by teacher Carl Hendrick, an author. You may be familiar with him. You might follow him on Twitter. And he tweeted, "When I think back to when I first started teaching, it's amazing just how narrow CPD was. It took me years to discover stuff. Now there's a wealth of opportunity for teachers to become more informed about their profession. We are living in a golden age of professional development." What a great tweet. And I think Carl is absolutely right. When I think back to when my career started 10 years ago, I didn't take any responsibility for my own professional development. Opportunities were rare. I remember a course for NQTs that took place in a Holiday Inn. I met some people who I didn't actually stay in touch with. I had a nice lunch, but I was actually quite stressed because I had to set all the cover and I was worried about my lessons. So it wasn't great, let's put it that way. In comparison to now and 2020, obviously it's been a challenging year. We've had emergency remote teaching and learning. We've had lockdown, but there's always silver linings. And I think for a lot of teachers, it might have provided the opportunity for reflection and time to engage with professional learning, whether that's online or whether that's through reading books, because there are so many incredible educational books out there now. And today that's what I'll be talking about. I'll be talking about some wonderful CPD that you can access online for free. There are other options where you can pay for CPD, but I will be focusing on the free options. And then I will be talking about some great books I've read and some books that I am looking forward to reading in the near future. So is this a golden age of CPD? Let's find out. Online professional development. Where do I begin? I think a really good place to start would be Seneca Learn, and they have really impressed me this year. They have a range of courses and webinars for teachers to access. You don't have to pay, you just simply need to sign up with an email. And the quality has also been really good as well. So if I just give you some examples, I've attended quite a lot of the Seneca Learn webinars, but they are recorded so you can watch them at a later date, which is great. It's really flexible for busy teachers. And just some of the examples of the webinars I've attended or watched include Gemma Singleton, a science teacher, and her presentation was all about retrieval practice. And yes, I've authored a book about retrieval practice, but I still like to hear from other teachers and learn from other teachers about this strategy. So that's available on YouTube, and it's filled with clear explanations and practical classroom examples. I would highly recommend that. I also really enjoyed watching the Seneca Learn webinar with Tom Sherrington. I've seen Tom Sherrington present before, and he's always guaranteed to deliver. He's so clever. He's a brilliant writer and an excellent public speaker. And this was a great opportunity for teachers to ask him questions. He spoke about Mode A, Mode B, Rose and Shine. And the fact that he gave up his time to do this for free, it was very kind of him, and it's really helpful. And then finally, I watched more, but these are probably my favourite three. This was with Tom Rogers, where he delivered a Seneca Learn webinar about EduTwitter. So this was completely different. And whether you use Twitter or not, this is useful. I think if you use Twitter, you'll gain more from it. But it doesn't matter if you're new to Twitter, if you've been using it for years. I've been using Twitter for years. I learned a lot from Tom's presentation. He shared some really interesting research about when to tweet to get the most engagement, advice about what to include in your tweets. He shared some really funny stories about his own experiences from Twitter and about some of the quite bizarre Twitter debates that happen. So it just goes to show Seneca Learn had a wide range of webinars on offer, including subject-specific webinars as well. And the courses that I've mentioned, they are free. There's a course based on my book about retrieval practice. Again, you sign up, you read the information, you work your way through it, you answer questions, and then you receive a certificate. There's also courses based on dual coding, on Oliver Caviglioli's work. There's an assessment course created by Doc Cox and Michael Childs, leadership by Sam Strickland, maths by Joe Morgan. So it's really worth checking those courses out. And as I said, you can gain a certificate as well, which is a nice bonus. So a big shout out to Seneca Learn and a big thank you, actually, because they've produced some really high quality professional development for teachers, and they're still doing that, actually. I think this week there's an MFL webinar that's free for teachers to sign up. Next Thursday there will be a leadership webinar with Sam Strickland that I've signed up for. Well, I think it's leadership and behaviour. So there's plenty on offer, so do check out Seneca Learn. Now, my second shout out will be Research Ed Home. So Research Ed events have taken place all around the world. And in 2020, a Research Ed event was scheduled to take place in Dubai that I was meant to be speaking at. And I was so looking forward to this event. There were speakers from all over the world scheduled to be there. I was meant to meet Paul Kirshner, my edu hero. And obviously, because of COVID, the event was cancelled. But this didn't mean Research Ed had to be cancelled. And instead, we had the launch of Research Ed Home. And this is where leading educators and academics around the world delivered webinars that were available to watch live or later on YouTube based on a topic of their expertise. And some of the Research Ed Home presentations that really stood out to me were the following. So first of all was Daisy Christodoulou. Her presentation was entitled How to Remember Anything Forever. So naturally, I was really interested in this because this was linked to memory. But Daisy spoke about Anki, a flashcard app, about how to use flashcards effectively. This is something that I've written about, I've talked about, but Daisy gave me a lot to think about and some new possible strategies. That was really interesting. Another Research Ed Home presentation that I thoroughly enjoyed was Paul Kirshner, 10 Tips for Emergency Remote Teaching. Very simple, very clever, very reassuring. Things that we should be doing as teachers, but advice how to do it and how to navigate with remote teaching and learning. And we're still in that emergency phase. It's very different in different parts of the world. For example, in the United Arab Emirates, Key Stage 3, well, this is in Abu Dhabi, Key Stage 3 are at home, complete remote online learning. Whereas exam classes have the option to come in or stay at home. So there's actually a mixture. Say, for example, my year 10 class, it might have some students sat in front of me and then other students in front of me via Zoom. So we are certainly not back to normal, and it doesn't look like we'll be that way for quite a while. So it is worth watching Paul Kirshner's Research Home presentation. Two other great presentations were Mary Myatt, Back on Track, 10 Suggestions for Making Sure That We Only Focus on the Things That Make a Difference in Schools. This is typical Mary Myatt. And when I say typical, I mean it's just what you would expect. It's straight to the point, it's concise, it's clear, it's common sense, it's brilliant. This is really good stuff, and especially for leaders. Leaders at all levels, but at a classroom level as well, you'll take a lot away from this. And this is actually linked to Mary's new book, Back on Track, and really relevant right now, really important discussion to be having. And then finally, a Research at Home presentation that I loved, and I think I will watch it again, was Adam Boxer, Dual Coding for Teachers Who Can't Draw, Improving Every Teacher's Explanation. This was so good because there's a lot out there on dual coding, and Oliver Caviglioli has done a fantastic job of spreading the word, and his book is brilliant, and I've seen him present too. He's incredible. And what Adam did was an explanation of dual coding that was, I think, pitched perfectly. It was very clear, but not patronising, and incredibly helpful. And even the title itself, For Teachers Who Can't Draw, that's really good because it addresses that misconception that you have to be an amazing graphic designer or artist to actually use this strategy in your lessons. And to see how Adam does that in his lessons, even though it was in the science context, it didn't matter. I found it incredibly helpful. I made lots of notes. It gave me a lot to think about. So if you are interested in dual coding, they are the two people I always recommend that you go to, Oliver Caviglioli and Adam Boxer. Absolutely superb. Now, another online option that was free, you may have heard of the BrewEd events. So I went to one of these in Derby. I was home in the UK visiting, and there was a BrewEd event happening that, and I just happened to be in Derby, which is very random. So I went to this event and I loved it. It was so lovely. It was in a church hall. We had cups of tea and biscuits, and there was some short but high quality presentations. And that's the theme of BrewEd. My friend Darren Simon, actually, he's one of the people who began BrewEd, and it is about teachers coming together informally to learn from one another and share good practice. And BrewEd events had to be cancelled, but BrewEd Clee and their amazing team decided that the show must go on, and they delivered lots of webinars that teachers can watch, which is great because actually if it was a live event I wouldn't have been able to attend from Abu Dhabi, but I was able to watch from Abu Dhabi these great presentations. And then they've carried this on actually. I delivered a BrewEd Clee presentation, teaching and learning takeaways, general strategies and reflections, and that's available on their YouTube channel, as well as presentations from educators in the US, Blake Harford, Patrice Bain, Michael Childs has presented. There's so many. So do check out the BrewEd Clee YouTube and Twitter accounts, because there's so many great presentations that you can catch up on. And then finally, you might know that this podcast is in partnership with TM Icons. It is not a paid partnership. We don't pay each other anything. It's a partnership that we literally just support each other, because I was one of the founding members of TM Icons. It was actually created by Tom Rogers. The first event was TM History Icons, and the idea behind it was it would be a CPD event just for history teachers, ran by history teachers. And Tom has taken this and he's developed it and he's expanded it to all other subjects. I'm so proud of the work that he's done. There was a great TM History Icons event, lots of superb keynote speakers. There's also been MFL, RE, and next week there will be the first TM Icons Design and Technology event. So whatever your subject, they are looking to host an event for this. And I know the English event was very successful. They had Mary Myatt and Jennifer Webb as some of their keynote speakers. It's really good for subject specific professional development. So my question was, is this a golden age of CPD? Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it? However, I do think it's important to put that question mark at the end, because there is the issue of professional development that is not of a high quality. And I tweeted about this last night, and I think it's important to share the great CPD that's out there and spread the word, but we also need to talk about the CPD that isn't great as well. and that is still happening. So during lockdown, I paid and signed up to a webinar. It was very general teaching and learning. It sounded interesting and that I could learn a lot from it. And during the presentation, all of the audience were on mute, which is absolutely fine. It's probably a good idea to do that in a webinar because otherwise you pick up on background noise. But the fact I was on mute, I thought I should explain that, why I had to sit in silence and watch this. And this presentation, it just felt as if there was too much being covered in, not in any depth. And when it came to space practice, the presenter told the audience of 40 plus teachers, I think at one point I remember seeing 45 teachers were there in the audience. And the presenter went on to explain about space practice. And this is something that I've written about because space practice is highly effective when we combine it with retrieval practice. It's about doing that little and often. It's about 5 hours revision is better as 1 hour a day over 5 days rather than 5 hours all in one session. That's just very simple explanation of space practice. But this presenter said space practice involved telling students to miss a line in their workbooks when writing and to space and spread out their words and their handwriting. And this would make it more legible and it would improve presentation, which actually, yes, we don't want students to cram their writing together, that it's, we can't read it. But then the presenter was talking about the impact it would have on long-term memory. I was sat there really confused. And when I tweeted this out, people were saying, no, you must be joking. Sadly, it wasn't a joke. This was a presenter that was talking about so many aspects of the science of learning and teaching of learning, but clearly had not done the legwork and not done the reading and the research. And not only was it really disappointing and frustrating, I thought to myself, well, I've read a lot about space practice. I'm familiar with what it is. Do the other teachers in this webinar know? Or are they going to go away and then share this information with their colleagues and their students about space practice? And this isn't the first time that I've heard inaccurate information be shared in a professional development session. So in a previous school, I attended it was an inset for staff, and a former colleague was talking about space practice, and they said to us all that in a lesson we should space out learning, that we should focus 10 minutes on instruction and content and then perhaps have a 10 minute break, then go back to the lesson, then maybe have another 5 or 10 minute break. And during that break, students can go on their phones, they can have a chat, or if they're younger, they can play with Play-Doh. And I honestly thought my ears were going to bleed because I couldn't believe what I was hearing about someone encouraging us to waste lesson time. If you've got a 50-minute lesson and you're teaching for 10 minutes and then you say, right, go off and do whatever you want for 10 minutes, that's just disastrous. Learning time is far too precious for that. And then this raises the question of how do we tackle poor CPD and incorrect information? I was muted in the webinar, but if I wasn't, I've thought about this, how would I have handled it? Would I have interrupted the presenter? I'm not sure, because obviously it's a difficult one. It's really tough. With both of these presenters, I did contact them afterwards. So I didn't, you know, I wouldn't want to heckle anyone, embarrass anyone, but it is important that this is challenged. So in terms of the webinar, I contacted the person, I thanked them for the sections that I found useful, but I did make clear that there were some inaccuracies, and then I pointed them in the direction of reading materials that would help them and stress the importance of sharing accurate information. In terms of the inset that happened in school, I went straight after the presentation, I went straight to the deputy head teacher, and she was like, Kate, I know exactly what you're going to say. And then we had a discussion how to deal with this, and we basically thought about damage control. So then what we planned would be that I and another colleague would deliver a session to staff about retrieval and space practice, and hopefully clarify what space practice was, and basically say we shouldn't waste learning time, and then also have a private conversation with that member of staff. But I do think if you are volunteering to deliver training to other teachers, or if this is your job and you are paid to do it, then there is a responsibility there. Don't expect everyone to be an expert in everything. Perhaps pick your areas of expertise. There are some consultants out there who can talk about a wide range of topics and are very experienced, very knowledgeable. But on the flip side, there's this bad CPD happening. I've also been a governor in two schools, and in one school where I was on the advisory board, a principal, he asked me to be on the advisory board because I didn't teach at that school and he wanted my honest opinions and advice, and I promised him that I would always do that. And then in a meeting he told me that he'd paid £12,000 upfront to an education consultant to deliver a range of presentations and training with staff. This consultant delivered the first session and it was about learning styles, and the staff were actually quite angry. They felt it was patronising, it goes against everything that they had been recently instructed and told and everything that they'd been reading about, and they just felt it was a waste of time. And then the head teacher was in a difficult position because they'd already paid the consultant up front, but the feedback from the teachers was not positive. So he didn't know what to do. I was frustrated because I was aware of this consultant, and I was aware of the things that the consultant had been sharing with other schools, and had he had asked me for my advice, I would have perhaps suggested a different route. But we paid for the consultant, so we thought, right, what are we going to do? This consultant was an experienced leader, and he did have lots of knowledge and expertise in a range of areas with leadership and inspection. So we decided that we would utilise those, and the rest of the sessions would be spent with the senior leadership team, focusing on leadership strategies rather than working with teachers, teaching and learning. And then again, I shared with that consultant some more up-to-date, shall we say, information. So it is a golden age of CPD. We've come so far in terms of professional learning, but we've still got a long way to go, and we do need to be careful with quality assurance. Professional learning is far too important to just leave to chance or to not invest the time and effort. Teachers deserve that. If they're giving up their time to listen to somebody, then they ultimately should learn from that, and it should be helping their students in the classroom. Otherwise, it's just wasting everybody's time. But anyway, there's plenty of fantastic CPD out there, and hopefully some of my suggestions today you will check out if you haven't already. So, finally, a topic that I could talk about all day long, but I won't, because I like to keep this podcast short and sweet, and that is educational books. Oh, there's so many books out there. And when people moan and complain saying there's too many books, they don't need to read them all. Why is that a problem? We've simply got more choice. We can be selective with the types of book. We can pick and choose. There's no pressure or obligation. But some books that I'm going to recommend, I'll start off with Powerful Teaching, Unleash the Science of Learning. And this was written by Professor Pooja K. Agarwal and Patrice Bain. Professor Agarwal is a cognitive scientist. She's the creator and founder of retrievalpractice.org, a great website. It's one of my go-to websites. And Patrice Bain is a very experienced classroom teacher. So I love the combination of the cognitive scientist and the teacher coming together to write about powerful teaching. And this book does feature chapters about retrieval practice, as you would expect, but there's also a lot more. There's chapters about spacing, interleaving, feedback, and probably my favourite chapters are the chapters about sparking conversations with students and parents about the science of learning. And this links into a book that I'm looking forward to reading, which is also by Patrice Bain. It's a follow-up to this book. It's Powerful Teaching, and it focuses on getting the parents involved and educating the parents. I can't describe it too much because I haven't read it yet, but I feel like it's a book that I need to read and that will be really helpful for teachers and leaders at all levels. Another book that I've thoroughly enjoyed reading this year, and I've only read it recently actually because it took a while to arrive here in Abu Dhabi, and that's How Learning Happens. And this is, again, a combination of, we've got Carl Hendrick, the teacher from Wellington College, and Paul Kirshner, a leading academic, and they really are a winning dream team in education. This book is so good. It's making research accessible. It explains the research. It says how to use it in your teaching, takeaways, references, a range of different topics. It comes highly recommended, so do check that out. Another book I've read, because I do realise I tend to read a lot of books about cognitive psychology, cognitive science, and that's because I'm so interested in retrieval practice and I've been writing a lot about it. So I am trying to branch out and read books that cover other areas. And one book that does exactly that was Education Exposed, Leading a School in a Time of Uncertainty by Samuel Strickland. This is an amazing book. It's so good. And I didn't read it when it first came out because I think I just assumed it was for head teachers, because I followed Sam Strickland on Twitter. He's at Strickomaster and he's a principal. So I was completely wrong. This is a book that is great for head teachers, but not just for head teachers. And this book covers a lot, considering it is a small book, but it's concise, it's clear, it's punchy. It's just, every page is just filled with gems of golden nuggets of advice. We've got leadership, behaviour, curriculum, workload. It's really thought-provoking. And this leads me into another book that I'm looking forward to reading, which is Education Exposed 2. So if it is anything like the first book, then it's going to be one of the best books of the year, without a doubt. It comes highly recommended already by people. I think it was only published a few days ago, and people are tweeting about how fantastic it is. I looked on his Twitter bio and it says that he's also a martial artist, and I was disappointed that there was no quotes from Mr. Miyagi, so I am hoping for that in Education Exposed 2. We shall see. And another book I'm looking forward to reading that I've already mentioned briefly is Mary Meyer, Back on Track. I've read lots of her books previously. I've seen her present many, many times, and it is always just wonderful, the advice that Mary offers. So high expectations for that book, but I am sure it will not disappoint. Thank you, diolch yn fawr iawn, shukran, for listening to this episode of the Love to Teach podcast. Hopefully there's some things that you can take away. Maybe you check out one of the webinars, you read one of the books I've suggested. If you would like to get in touch with me, you can tweet me at 87history. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram at lovetoteach87, or you can go to my contact page at lovetoteach87.com. So have a lovely weekend and take care.